Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we take a look at the first letter of St. John, chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. I am writing to you, children, because your sins have been forgiven for his namesake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have conquered the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God remains in you and you have conquered the evil one. Brothers and sisters, how much does that define you? Really, how much does that define you? Have you allowed your sins to be forgiven? Have you conquered, we never fully conquer, but conquered the evil one in the sense that we recognize his tactics in our lives and we're fighting to overcome them and to take on the tactics that the Holy Spirit teaches us? Are we really waging war on our evil inclinations or not? He says here, I am writing to you, young men, because you have conquered the evil one. At least harness them. Don't let them play havoc with your life. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. Do our children know the Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father? Do we teach them? Do we show them the way? It's husbands and wives, it's men and women and children, it's all of us. Are we moving closer to God or not? Does the Word of God remain in you? Does the Word of God, is it the foundation of your life? Is it the rock in a sense that you cling to in difficult times? And then what John says is, do not love the world or the things of the world. I'm speaking to you now who are seeking to be good Catholics, good Christians. I'm seeking you. And I want to say to you, do not love the world or the things of the world. If you love the world, it's the world's priorities you've taken on. And that's going to lead you to death. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, sensual lust, enticement for the eyes, and a pretentious life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. Yet the world and its enticement are passing away. But whoever does the will of God remains forever. I cannot read this passage without thinking, and I've shared it before, of a student that I had many years ago. Brilliant, brilliant young man. Brilliant. I do mean brilliant. I mean perfect SAT scores. Just a brilliant young man. He had no time for God. He was going to do this. He was going to do that. He had 12 years of Catholic education. And yet he had chosen the world and its values, success. He said to me one day, I'm going to be the best lawyer in the country and hopefully in the world. And I said, if God wants it, that's wonderful. But if God wants something else, are you open to that? And he basically said no. He was dead in his early 30s of alcoholism. His plans, his priorities, his way of acting led to death. And it didn't have to. It's a sorrow in my life to this day. Look at this passage of the first letter of St. John and pay attention to it. Choose the gospel values. Choose the priorities of the gospel as your own. And yes, you won't get all the plaudits, perhaps, that sometimes you do. But that's not where your worth is or your value is. Your worth or your value is because you know God as your Father. You're his son. You're his daughter. You know Jesus as your Savior. You couldn't have anything better than that. Honestly, honestly, you couldn't have anything better than that. Choose him. Choose his way. Psalm 96, let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. And they will. The world will rejoice when we come to the Lord, when we acknowledge, when we give Him glory and praise, when we bring gifts, when we worship, when we follow Him. We will give glory to God. And the gospel is the gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 36 to 40. This is the second part of what we read yesterday, the gospel yesterday. Yesterday's gospel was Joseph and Mary bringing Jesus into the temple and meeting Simeon. Now, this is the continuation of that. Simeon has just said, "Blessed be the Lord," and he lifts up this child. Behold, this is the fulfillment of the prophets, etc. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. So she's 84 years old. She's married, does not have children. Her husband died after 7 years of marriage. She never left the temple. She made her home in the temple. She worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time means when Mary and Joseph bring Jesus into the temple, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were waiting the redemption of Jerusalem. Let me emphasize something here. This is such a neat and tidy translation. It's not the best. Coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God. If you read the Greek, brothers and sisters, if you read it in the original language, she basically went crazy. I mean, she danced, she sang, she picked up her tambourine, she prophesied. She was ecstatic. She didn't come up and say, "Oh, this is the one from whom I've been praying." No. She rejoiced coming forward at that very time. So think of it. She danced, she sang, she rejoiced. She spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the one. This is the one. This is the Messiah. And people are struck dumb. I mean, what do you mean? This is nothing but a baby. God's ways are not our ways. God's plans are not our plans. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's ask God to give us His eyes and His ears, that we really can follow Him wherever He wants to take us. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town, Nazareth. See, very ordinary, very normal, very quiet. No fanfare. Quiet. Everybody going about their ordinary ways. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom. And the favor of God, the favor of God was upon him. There is a poem in the latest Magnificat, a poem by Rita Simmons, who often makes contributions to Magnificat magazine. And she has a poetic meditation on Anna, 86-year-old Anna. This is what she writes. "Elderly Anna, left alone, spouseless in the temple, so long drawn her home, alone with the law, and her heart faithful and sharp as the heart's law remains. She waits and fasts and prays, remaining fast, waiting for what she never could have known had she left that solemn space." She was always before the Lord. "Behold, two turtle doves, a swaddled son. The mother's face absorbs his glow. The temple swells. The father knows the son he gives is not his own. The mother's face, a sheet of grief, a sign a post must be let go. The elder Anna breaks her fast, and praising God, her heart explodes. The groom has come at last. You see, brothers and sisters, we can live what seems to the world very ordinary lives, just going about doing what we're asked to do, taking care of our home, taking care of our relationships, providing for ourselves and for others, finding little joys here and there as we go along. But basically, we're doing what God has given us to do. And we do it with faith, and we do it offering all our thoughts and words and actions as worship to Him. Anna, because she was a widow, because she was alone, could stay in the temple. Some of us could stay in the temple, so to speak. We could go to our churches every day. We have time to do that. Many of us do not have time to do that. But there are those who stand before God just like Anna did, waiting, longing, seeking. And they become, those people become light in the darkness. Anna, says Rita Simmons, as she put it, exploded. Really, it exploded. Her joy exploded. Brothers and sisters, I don't know how we can do this except to ask God for a sovereign grace. Ask Him for grace that the things of heaven can become more important to me than the things of earth. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have to carry out the responsibilities for the things of earth. You can't abdicate responsibility, but you can do them with your eyes fixed on heaven, or you can do them fixed on the earth. What I'm saying is, you want to live in this world, do good in this world, serve all you can in this world, but keep your eyes fixed on what is to come. Who knows? We may be alive when the Messiah comes again. Who knows? It may be our great-grandchildren or our great-great-great-grandchildren. We don't know, but we're called to be ready, to be listening, to be making room for Him in all our relationships, to make room for Him in all the work that we do, keeping our eyes fixed, listening for Him. I've shared this with you before, but I remember years ago my uncles coming home for a furlough during World War II. We were only about a mile from the train station. And my grandmother, my dear grandmother, would be standing by the window listening for the whistle of that train, that she'd know her son or her sons were coming home. I watched that as a small child. I've never forgotten it. I think it's us like that, attentive, listening. She was always cleaning, always doing the laundry, always cooking, always serving her family. But there were moments when I would see her standing by the window, just looking and listening, particularly on the days when we thought they would come. May it be so with us. May we long too for the coming of the Messiah. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.